DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Those people are the freaks, man.
Price.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
James.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Big Jim.
I told you. What did I tell you? Didn't I tell you? Because I told you.
Samantha.
I am going to have regular sex with you whether you like it or not.
Not another podcast.
Welcome to Not Another Podcast. I am James.
And I'm Samantha.
And we're alone.
All by ourselves.
All by ourselves.
I don't like you enough to be alone with you.
Well, technically we're not alone together. I mean, we're alone, we're together, but we're not together because we're not even in the same room.
No, we are, like, clear across the country from one another.
Yeah, this is really convoluted, but...
And
no
one, a little sad.
No one even cares, so...
Nope.
Why
cares about anything, man.
Why even bother explaining it? Because only one person's going to listen, and he was supposed to be on the show today, but he cannot be, so...
What a jerk. And I just met him, too. This is a bad... second impression, sir.
He's not going to be a man that you're tempted to date, I'm going to tell you.
Oh, that's good.
Not if he keeps it up.
You know, get yourself in line. All
right? There's a long line of people that Samantha is unwilling to date.
Ship up or ship out. Got it?
Damn straight.
I'm one high quality bitch and I need a high quality dude. I should have said high-quality dick. That would have been fun.
Hindsight being what it is.
A high-quality V for a high-quality D. No. I am so crass with you guys. Oh, my gosh. I'm not happy.
Samantha, ladies and gentlemen, one classy chick.
Oh.
And by classy, I mean not at all.
Maybe a little, not so much classy, more gassy.
Well, the things you've shared on this show, like even back in the day, which was a Tuesday, oddly enough, could make a Catholic priest blush.
Teehee. Well, I'm not that bad. It just, you know, you guys bring out the
best.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go with that.
Let's say that. I don't know. It's like, you know, the mic goes on and it's the mic turns on and it's showtime. And I'm not saying that my stories aren't true or anything because they are, but it's just you have to add that flourish.
No, the best stories are always true.
Gotta be a little extra.
And usually start with, okay, so a friend of mine and I were drinking.
This shit there I was. Hammered out of my skull.
So there we were.
Made of fun. And across the distance, I made eye contact with a werewolf.
All of it, low tide.
Oh, what an idiot. Oh, my gosh. I hate this game so much. I was thinking about a future episode that I think would be super funny.
Okay.
Is one at a time, we each bring on our significant others, and the other people get to grill them about what it's like to date or be married to that person.
Depending on who's on the show, I think that could happen. I know Jim's significant other would tell we could do a show just with her on what it's like to date Jim.
She's going to be like,
but the thing is
not what I signed up for.
Jim has to be next to her because we've actually done that on this show with Jim. Right before he left for Pennsylvania, his significant other was here, and we just asked questions, and we spent 2 hours with her. The rest of us were laughing, and Jim was just... I think Jim wanted to crawl into a hole.
Aww.
But it was said with nothing but love? Question mark?
Right. That's what they all say.
I don't think you could get any real honesty out of Bree as far as what it's like to date me or be with me. Because she's very much, he's fine, blah, blah, blah. And no, what is he really like? Oh, I love him. And
he's so great. I love Bree, though. She's so sweet.
She
out with that one, bro.
Big time. I think the same. Same could be said for Bryce's significant other. She would just. I don't think she'd have anything bad to say. Dan's significant other. I don't have enough of a read on to tell you one way or the other. Mm-hmm. From what Dan tells me, I think she would be much like Bree, just like, oh, he's so great. And then when they got home, she would unleash on him. How dare you put me on that show with those freaks?
On this show with these degenerate people. Is this who you hang out with?
You are no longer allowed to associate with those people.
Especially that disgusting person in Ohio.
Her especially.
She is gross. Gosh. The mouth on her. My mom is like, and I raised you? I'm like, that's right, you did.
You should be proud.
Like, bow to me, mother.
The sticker on the back of her car, I raised a foul-mouthed heathen.
Yeah, you know. And then she sent me off to the Navy. I mean, what the... No, I spent 7 years, you know, active duty, and
that's,
then it just got worse.
That's just where you refined your
exactly.
class.
Exactly. There's this podcast I listen to, and I love it. I love the content. It's a great podcast, but the narrator, the host, says, exactly, and every CT word that has a word that has a CT in it, she skips over the C and goes right to the T, and it makes my ears want to explode a little bit.
Mm.
And the reason I say that is because I just said, well, that exactly, that's what, you know, and it just says exactly, just drives me insane.
Is that D? That's hard to do. I can't do that.
Exactly. I mean, no, thank you. So what pet peeves do you have?
Pet peeves. My pet peeves seem to be on, like, bigger issues than, like, little things like skipping over a C to get to the T.
Well, then it's not really a pet peeve at that point. It's just a peeve.
It's just an obsession.
Yeah. See, I have a few pet peeves. Ones that will, like, throw me into a blind rage. I have when people don't use their turn signal when they're driving. That includes changing lanes, people. You know, use your damn turn signal. And people who do not cover their mouths when they yawn.
Hmm.
Drives me insane. Like, I want to carry around little wads of, like, of paper or like straw wrappers, just little balls of paper. And when I see someone do that, I just want to throw it in their mouths.
Make them choke.
Yep.
You're
that
cruel.
The
turn signal bugs me. It's an annoyance more than a pet peeve or even a peeve. The problem is there's so much bad traffic in Portland that it's like, it's not even a pet peeve. It's just you want to pull your hair out when you get into the car. You haven't even put the key into the ignition and you're ready to kill. it's not good. It's not good. I just can't, like... One thing that bugs me, I will say this, it annoys me to no end when people, especially like at a job situation, people will make changes or you know, do things that directly affect you and they won't tell you about it. I know it annoys you too, to the point of barking, but this is a podcast, so let's use English.
Calm it down a little. Hey, quiet. Thank you. She just looks at me like, Ugh, I want to be quiet. I'm a terrier. I must bark at everything.
Everything.
Everything is exciting. The 2-year-old bull terrier. I mean, if that's not energy and excitement, I don't know what is. Hey, baby. She was okay. So my did you have a good holiday? We had a holiday. You know, we
did. We did have a holiday, and it was mildly amusing.
We still have people setting off fireworks.
Yeah, there's a thing in Portland that's like they can only sell them, I think, 2 weeks before and up to the day, and then you have to stop. Like, you can't sell. And so, like, the minor explosions pretty much stop after the 4th, which is nice. We can get back to normal-ish.
Yeah, we had a few go off last night, and like I was telling you before we hit record, was my younger dog terrified of fireworks. She does not like loud noises. Sometimes if a motorcycle goes by, she's like, nope, let's go inside now. But she goes and hides in the bathtub.
Like you do.
Because she can't hear anything back there. She goes and hides in the bathtub, and I feel so bad. Like, and we've had really bad thunderstorms roll through here today, and she's hiding in the bathtub again. So I'm like, why? What is your obsession with the bathtub? But even when I'm taking a shower, she tries to get in there with me, and I'm like, will you stop? When I first brought her home, she didn't like to leave my side, so I would be in the shower, and then all of a sudden I felt something on my leg. I'm like, what the hell? And there she is, bleh, 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 licking my leg. I'm like, get away from me! But, you know, the bull terriers just want to be with their people. They're great dogs, but they just want to be with their people. And they will be as close to you as often as they can be. And, like, it's like basically she wants to become one with you. Because when she snuggles hard. And she's like, my human! Whereas my other one's a little, you know Essie, and my other one's a little more independent. And she will go lay down anywhere, but they've learned how to share my lap now. And when they're both laying on me, I'm not getting up. Like, there's no way. I have to pee. I will hold it for as long as I can, because I'm not getting up. So sometimes my boyfriend will come over and I've got both dogs on me, and he's like, oh, that's why you didn't unlock the door. I'm like, yeah, no.
Because no, I can't.
Yeah, like, it's so close. If I had the force, I could unlock it from here. But, you know, I don't.
Mommy's talking, but she's not looking at us. That's annoying.
Yeah, it really
so
is.
So I've got an interesting little philosophical question. Longtime listeners to the show will have heard these. I've posed these questions to Jim and Bryce before. And I was hoping Jim would be on because he's got a twisted mind. I'd like to see how this plays out. But these are two separate questions, but they're kind of similar. So let's say, for the sake of this podcast, that you could learn the truth behind any conspiracy, controversy, government secret, anything. 100% fact. It is, you know, the truth. But in order to do that, someone significant to you has to go to prison for life. What secret would you choose, and who would you send to jail? Take your time.
I'm trying to remember what they're called. Because I don't really care about aliens. Don't care if they're out there. Don't care if they're not. Not really my point of fascination. I like sci-fi and all that, and I'm, you know, but I'm like, if they're there, they're there. If not, cool, whatever. In an infinite universe, I'm pretty sure they're out there somewhere, but so that, I have more interest in our oceans, but there's no, I mean, I kind of want to know what's in the Mariana Trench, for sure. what's all down there. But that also comes from my, I've been reading the Steve Alton books, the Meg series.
Oh, I love that series, yeah.
Oh, me too. I love it. It's so page turner. But did you read the Vostok?
That
was the newest one. It's technically.
Oh, if it's his newest one, no, I haven't read it yet.
Yeah, it's technically number two, book number two of The Lock, which is Zachary Wallace was that main character, and it's the prequel to the Meg series with Jonas Taylor. And those are two of my favorite books that Steve Alton has done, and I was like, oh, two of my favorite characters are going to come into one book, oh my god, and I was so excited, but it was awful.
Oh.
I was so disappointed. Like, I was to the point, I was angry. Like, Ryan was afraid to talk to me. I was
so Did you make the sound of disappointment?
All the time. Every page. I was like, ugh. Because it started off super classic, you know, action-y.
Mm-hmm.
But what the direction he went, I was like, no, please don't go that direction. Please, no. Because I think it's kind of a cop-out. And I was like, no. But anyway, so I guess, crap, I don't really know. I want to know. There are these secret files that I've seen on YouTube about these, like, horror monsters. I think mm-hmm. it's all fake, but you never know. I don't know. What do I want to know? Oh, this is tough.
I know, it's really tough. Like, I've been thinking about it all day, and it's like, there's so many things that I would love to know the truth about.
Well, what are some of yours?
Well, the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's see. I'd like to know if there is truly an Area 51 and what they store there.
Mm-hmm. Bigfoot and Loch Ness.
Bigfoot, yes. Loch Ness, no, because I think Loch Ness has kind of been proven.
Yeah.
Over and over again that there's nothing there. I mean, the lake is not that big. You know, it's not ocean. Not. You know.
But if you read The Lock, there's a great explanation in that book.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's, you know, tons of stuff. I would like to know if, in fact, a megalodon or a
Cronus?
Yeah, something like that actually does exist. There was, not too long ago, there was a article. Someone found potentially, thanks to Google Maps, what could be a megalodon or pretty mm-hmm. significantly sized shark off the coast of Brazil. I think.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to know. I'd like to know if God exists. put that to rest once and for all. I'd like to know the truth behind 9/11, how much our government knew and why nothing was done, if they knew anything at all. I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there that I'd like to know, but I mean, I think the biggest thing for me is the Kennedy assassination. I mean, that's such a huge secret,
mm-hmm.
you know, or potential secret. And they're always, I mean, everything, like all the facts did not come out.
No, they didn't. I recently read a book, I think it was last year or beginning, it was last year, called Brothers, The Hidden Secrets of the Kennedy Years. So it was more from the perspective of Robert Kennedy, you know, and what he was doing to try to find out what happened to his brother and the secrets behind it. And there was a lot of information that didn't come out at that point. And even researching this book, the dude was like, we still don't know everything. There's some massive conspiracies around this. And, you know, like Hoover could have been a part of it. They think he knew a lot. It's just all sorts of conspiracy theories around that one. Nothing is like definitive.
Mm-hmm. I would say that, or I'm sorry, I had heard at one point, and I don't know if this is true or not, but supposedly there's like this sealed file that they will open upon the extinction of the Kennedy family, for lack of a better word. But the Kennedys breed like rabbits, so how is that ever going to happen? You know?
Well, that's why Trump was elected into office, so he can get rid of them.
Yeah, that's not working out so well. We can't even get rid of him. Speaking of our Cheeto-in-Chief, I read an interesting article we can talk about in a little bit. But so you can't really pick a truth that you'd like to know. Can you? Who would you send to jail?
Now, when you say significant to me, what is your definition of that? Does it have to be someone I love and care about, or can they be a significant person that was in my life that I really don't give a crap
about? Someone you love and care about, like, you know, someone who means a lot to you, not just, you know, in your life, but, you know, emotionally, mentally.
But I could still live without him?
Yeah.
Let's see. It would have been probably my friend Courtney, because she can handle herself, but she's married now, and like her and her husband are like the soulmates of all soulmates, so I wouldn't want to separate them.
There's conjugal visits.
Yeah, you know. They're swingers anyway, so it really wouldn't matter. I can't stand my brother, so I think sending him to prison wouldn't really hurt me that much. I have such a healthy family life. My mom's awesome. I wouldn't want to send her to prison. La 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 la. Oh, now that's tough too. I'm like trying to look at my pictures. Like, who would I send to prison? Let's see here.
I'd send my sister.
You would? Why?
Yeah. I think prison would harden her up.
Oh, well, if that's the way we go, I'm going to go with my friend Stephanie then, because she's a pain in my A, and I love her to death, but she makes the dumbest decisions, and I think time away from her actual life would be good for her to reflect.
Well, she wouldn't be getting her life back.
That's probably best, because she's making some awful choices right now.
No, my sister's got, you know, she's got two daughters and a son, and I mean, she's got a good life and everything. I just think I think prison would do her good. And I care a lot about my sister, and she's one of the biggest people in my life, but yeah, she can go to prison as long as I can learn everything behind the Kennedy assassination.
Absolutely everything.
I may not be able to share that secret with anyone, but at least I would know, and I could kind of lord it over people.
I think I have mine.
Your truth or your person going to prison?
My truth. I picked my person going to prison. My truth. The Bermuda Triangle.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I want to know. Oh, no, Atlantis. Oh, damn it.
Now you have to send someone else
damn
to prison.
It. I'll send everyone to prison. Everybody. I want to know stuff.
I'm lonely, but I know everything.
My knowledge will keep me warm at night. Bermuda Triangle or Atlantis. I want to know about the Lost City of Atlantis so bad. You know what? I'm going with the Lost City of Atlantis.
Now, here's an interesting twist. So the person has to go to prison first. And then you find out, what if you find out that there is no Atlantis, there never has been Atlantis?
That would suck. I'd be like, well, I'm not in prison. So
damn it!
That would be so sad.
Yeah, but you just send everyone you know to prison.
No,
you're all by yourself. And
I'll make new friends. I'm delightful.
You just have to warn everyone, look, if I have the chance to learn a truth, you could go to prison.
Right,
just
like,
letting you know up front.
I like to be right about things.
at the expense of you spending your life in prison.
Yup. I learned the difference between a cottage pie and a Oh crap, what's another pie? Like the meat pie, what's that called?
A meat pie?
Is it
called a meat pie?
A shepherd's pie. I learned the difference between a cottage pie and a shepherd's pie, and I'm like, man, I can't wait to throw that in someone's face. I just like hoard information, and I'm like, ha, I know this idea, because I'm an asshole. But then if I'm ever lucky enough to have kids, like, I seriously want my kid to be such a smartass and just know it all. Like, I love watching the History Channel because I like watching, you know, Truths of America. Now that we don't, you know, stuff that our history books either didn't teach us or we got totally wrong. Mm-hmm. So I want my kid to like be able to raise their hand and be like, actually, that's not how it happened. So
my mom says.
No, TV says. No, I'm just kidding. But, be like, no.
Because my mom's too busy to teach me shit.
My mom sent me to prison so she could learn stuff just before I know it.
And here's what she learned. Because when she came on visiting day.
Like, Rosa Parks was not the first black woman to do that, so just so you know.
Oh, that's funny. You're cruel.
I know. I'm so mean. I wish I wasn't this mean.
Okay, well, it's about to get meaner here because...
Oh, no.
Here's the second question I came up with today. So you now have the opportunity to bring back anyone in history... Bring them back to life so they can continue their work, hopefully to do good. But in order to do that, someone close to you has to die. How much do you want to be right, Samantha?
Well, I like being right. That's getting information.
Hey, I
but
brought
I
this person
admit
back.
I'm wrong. Let's see. Jesus.
Then you bring back Jesus and he turns out to be an asshole. Way to go, Samantha.
Well, that could happen with any of them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. My thought is you get to bring someone back who was, very influential and have them continue their work essentially to the betterment of mankind.
Well, that reminds me of an episode of Doctor Who that no matter how many times I see it, I always end up crying at the end. It's the episode where they met Van Gogh.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I love that one.
Yeah. And they brought him to the future so he could see how his art influenced the world.
Yeah.
And oh my, the actor was fantastic. And when he starts crying, I start crying, and I'm going to start crying talking about it because it's such an emotional episode, and I loved it so much. But yeah, I bawl like a baby every time I see that episode. So I would want to bring someone like that back to bring that sort of beauty and energy back, you know, into the world. But he was so, him and a lot of other artists in those time periods were so tortured.
Yeah.
I don't know. Would it be if you bring someone like Van Gogh back to this day and age where you can manage and he would be able to medically manage his brain and
yeah, but
and
then you have
he'd
to
be stable. Would you lose his magic and his spark?
That's exactly what I was going to suggest. I mean, that torture was translated onto the canvas. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
And that's why a lot of people don't, like, I would never want to medicate my kids. And a lot of people don't like to medicate because kids are creative. They should be. And, you know, they're kids. They're not meant to sit still. They're not meant to, plain and simple. So, like, I feel like that spark is taken away from them. But then in other cases, there is a flip side to it when someone legitimately needs that type of medicine or attention or therapy or what have you. that can clear their mind.
See, I have this crazy,
to be influential.
I have this really crazy theory that we've so medicated our society that we can't recognize if a kid actually needs that sort of help or if they're just bored. Because I keep going back to the whole that Albert Einstein thing where he was a hyperactive kid in school because he wasn't being challenged.
Right.
So I'm wondering if that's the case with a lot of our
well,
kids
exactly.
today.
That's what we're
medicating. We've lowered the standards so bad in schools. And now, and when we did that, there was like an upsurge in hyperactivity.
Yep, kids are bored and they're not challenged.
So yeah, I'm just like, is it just me or is this a thing? Is this, you know, and how do we fix this?
No, I'm right there with you. I completely agree. I think very few and far in between the ADD and ADHD medication and things like that are actually needed. Very few and far in between. I think that, you know, we're medicating our kids to be convenient.
Oh, undoubtedly.
Rather than putting in the effort. And now this is just a generalization. This isn't towards anyone pointed or anything like that, because there are a lot of parents out there who take the time and put in a lot of effort to their kids because they love them and they don't, you know, they want them to be challenged so they can grow up. So there's tons of people like that. But what takes over in the media more than anything is the negativity. So mm-hmm. we see the bad side of it more than the good side, which is very unfortunate because there's a lot of great parents out there. But we see and just because you medicate your kid doesn't mean you're a bad parent. It's just you have to take an honest 100% look at, does my child actually need this or do they just need to be challenged more and I need to do more with them?
Exactly.
That's not a bad question to have to ask yourself.
No, and I really wish more parents would ask themselves that question. I feel like, for me, I feel like that we have opened up a can of worms because it's so much easier to give a kid a pill than challenge their mind to you know, and we're only hurting ourselves because these kids mm-hmm. aren't challenged. So they grow up and we're losing doctors, we're losing scientists, we're losing the people who could potentially cure the common cold, who could bring about world peace, you know,
right,
all these things that,
curiosity.
Yeah, all the things that we aspire to as a people are getting lost because it's just so much easier to medicate them and not worry about it.
Mm-hmm. And then they continue the cycle, unfortunately.
Yeah, because that's what they know. So, and it worked for them. It's just, it's really disgusting. It's really annoying me. And we were talking earlier about pet peeves. That's one of my pet peeves.
mm-hmm. But yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. There's, and I also think that stuff's being put into our food.
Okay. Save that conspiracy theory. For
I know there's a conspiracy theory. I want truth too. I'll send you to prison, okay?
Well, as long as you share that truth with me, I'm fine with that.
Okay, I'll share every detail with you.
And I want to pick the prison. I want to go to the prison Martha Stewart went to.
you should go to like a ladies' prison. You're too delicate.
But who would you bring back?
God, that's tough. Because there's so many people that did so many good things, but like I said, I think really, man, I'm kind of leaning towards C.S. Lewis. But then I'm looking around my house and I'm looking at some of the artwork that I have up. And I have a massive love for William Blake, who is not only a painter, but who's also a poet. But then there's people who did like really.
What I find very interesting is you keep.
Mother Teresa.
Yeah, I was gonna. What I find very interesting is you keep leaning towards artistic types.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, my first, my very first thought when I came up with this question was Gandhi.
Well, yeah, he was one. I was thinking, okay, Mahatma Gandhi, and then I got off on the Van Gogh trail, so then my brain went towards artists, but I was thinking Gandhi and Mother Teresa are, like, the go-tos. You know, that those are the first thing a lot of people say, so I was trying to think of something.
You know,
I was trying to think of something less obvious.
You know who I'd bring back? Any honest-to-goodness ninja and have him kill Trump.
Good, sir.
It's okay, they're not listening. They've got better things to do.
He's got the frequencies out. Anytime he hears his name.
Oh. Someone mentioned me?
Me? But, you know, if we all got together and got our wish, we could each bring back someone from... that would bring that positivity back from a different, like, field.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you've got that part. You've got, like, the humanitarian covered.
Well, that's like my selfless one. My selfish one would be the guitar player for Sabotage, Chris Olivia. I'd bring him back so I could have some decent music again.
Okay. Jimmy Page still alive?
Jimmy Page? Yeah, he's still alive.
Yeah, I thought he's still alive.
So you can't bring him back.
No, can't bring him back. Let's see. Who's the WWF wrestler that... Oh, let's see. No, I'm just kidding.
There's quite a few of those that have passed recently.
Well, do you remember the guy, and I'm blanking on his name, he played two different characters, but he jumps from the rafters. He was supposed to wrestle, like, Stardust, which is...
Owen Hart.
Yes, Owen Hart. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And his, I mean, straight head into the turnbuckle. I was like, oh my God, how horrific was that?
Yeah, that was really bad.
Yeah. Ugh. What about bringing back, like, Abraham Lincoln? He was all for equality.
Yes and no.
Right, there's when it comes to the time period, cool, great, but I think now it would be a little shocking.
Yeah, I think some of the things I've recently read and learned about Lincoln, he was definitely anti-slavery, but right. I don't think he was pro-African-American.
Right, so he's like, well, they're still humans.
They're human, but...
Don't marry a white person. Just stay away. I know there's a lot that has come out about him recently.
Yeah.
I have a couple books downloaded that I'm yet to get into because I have too many books. Not that that matters because I don't think you could ever actually have too many books. But
no, there's no such thing. There's no such thing as too much knowledge.
It's low on my to-be-read list because I just have other things that I'm interested in at the moment. So, like, you know, the Lost City of Atlantis and the Bermuda Triangle.
How about the Russian hacking scandal?
Dude, seriously.
Can I learn the truth about that? I'll throw everyone in prison for that.
All the people go to prison. I'll be the only person on Earth.
Everyone that's part of this podcast, at least.
Damn. Can I take my dogs?
Sure.
Yes. I think, you know, what if you could get, like, a nugget of information for each of them? Not whole truth, but, like, just a nugget. A nugget for
each
nugget.
Well, that's an interesting twist. How many people would you throw in prison in order to get the full truth about something?
Well, you said full truth about one topic.
Yeah.
So you get the full truth. You get everything on that topic.
But the twist is now, like... How many people would have to, like, okay, I will present you nuggets of truth.
Oh.
So how many people would you be willing to throw in prison in order to get the full truth?
I don't think I care about that many people to get the full truth of anything. Honestly. I mean, I don't want to throw my whole, like, comedy troupe in there because I have to perform with those guys.
You can get a new comedy troupe. You just said you're delightful.
I am delightful, but I can't guarantee that everyone I delight is as talented as those guys are.
Well, you'll have to train them.
You're like, get some visiting time at the prison with this person, okay? You need to be like them.
Samantha's like School them. For Comedy.
It'll be held at the prison. I'll just make new friends who look like my current friends.
Yeah, just once a month you perform.
Like this guy.
Once a month you perform at the prison.
Yeah, there we go. Because there'll be no one there to run the theater.
Exactly. And it's a captive audience.
I'm so bored. But at least I know the secret if there's a Skull Island or not.
That's interesting. I'm trying to think, like, of all the people I know, how many people would I throw into prison just to find out the truth about anything? Is there anything that I really care that much about to find the truth?
Well, that's the thing. I don't think, like, yeah, I joke that I probably don't know enough people that I care about to get that amount of truth. But I don't think, but I mean, in all honesty, I don't think there's anything I care enough about to throw multiple people into prison to get the whole truth.
Except for Atlantis.
Maybe.
The nuggets you get are warmer. Warmer.
As I'm walking. I'm like walking along Lake Erie. Like, was it right here? And they're like,
here?
You're super here? Cold, bitch. Did it sink here? Good.
In the middle of the Atlantic in a dinghy. Warmer. Warmer.
And then, like, right before they're like, here it is, I run out of people. I'm like, damn it!
No! And what's worse is I can't give you any clues to get you back to civilization.
So I just have to, like, great.
Just keep paddling. Just keep paddling.
Oh, look, a megalodon. Hey.
Please eat me, please.
Before I dissolve in the acids of a stomach.
I've lost everything. And worse, the megalodon just ate, so he won't eat.
Yeah, you're like, damn it, just kill me already. Well, some people will lose everything just to find out a little bit of truth. Have you seen the show when they're digging for the Templar treasure on that island? It's two brothers, and they're just sinking everything into this quest to find the Templar, like, treasure. And they think it's on this little island. Hold on.
Well, the answer is no, I haven't seen that show. That's something we need to get into in a future episode, too. Your TV habits are abysmal.
Mine?
Yours.
How?
They seem to have improved since last we did the podcast, but you used to watch
please.
Some atrocious shows.
Like what? Name one thing that was atrocious.
Bridalplasty?
Okay, that was... I totally forgot about that show. That's okay. I've upgraded from that to watching Botched, which is freaking amazing. I watch some really good. I do have my guilty pleasure shows, but I promise I watch quality stuff too. I promise.
One can hope.
Okay, so here's something. We're talking about, you know, the simplifying of our society, and that, you know, reality television is cheaper to make, it's cheaper to produce, and then you have a brilliant, amazing, beautiful, artistic show like Hannibal by Brian Fuller, and that gets taken off the air.
Yeah.
Because it's way too conceptual. It's way too high art. It was a beautiful show, and I have watched through it multiple times, and I'm always, like, picking up on stuff. And it's so beautiful. And, of course, Brian Fuller now doing American Gods, which is also high concept, beautifully done. And I'm like, great, how long is this going to last? Because, oh, another wife from another, like, like Rich Wise from Columbus needs airtime now. So it's like, what? Why do we care about these things?
Well, here's another thing too, that, you know, there are so many channels now.
Ton.
That you can find a home for anything. So I'm like, and this has happened a couple of times now, and I think it's starting to become a trend, in that a show is unsuccessful on one station, but another station will pick it up.
Well, that's what I was hoping would happen to Hannibal. I was hoping something like FX or FXX would have picked it up, because Sons of Anarchy, great show, was on, you know, FX, and Hannibal was on ABC, and I was hoping that
NBC.
FX was going to pick it up. Oh, yes, thank you, NBC. Yeah, I was like, ABC, what? I was hoping
that... No, ABC
that...
would not run Hannibal.
I know, I was like, wait a minute, something's wrong with that sentence. Thank you for correcting me. So, see, I can admit when I'm wrong. So, I was hoping something like AMC or FX would have picked up, or even A&E would have picked up Hannibal and let Brian Fuller realize his vision, because he had to cram, you know... You know, you have one more season left. So he had to cram the dragon, the red dragon into one season when it was meant, or, you know, into a few episodes when it was meant to be its own entire season.
Yeah.
Or, you know, something like that. And I was like, why? So he's forced to get this whole storyline in for no reason other than your art's too good and people don't want it. Like, the mass majority. I'm like, no!
Yeah, it's very annoying to me when a show, a good show, suffers because, you know... There's this thing that, unfortunately, really good shows aren't allowed time to develop. And I have a theory that says that a new show... depending on the media, takes a certain amount of time to develop its audience, to find its audience. For instance, the show Firefly, Joss Whedon's Firefly, was on one season. It was on a terrible night, and it was on, you know, it was buried. It was a forgotten show that found an audience after it went off the air.
Mm-hmm.
That show was not given time to develop. It was not given time to find its audience. And, you know, however, it still managed to launch some really good careers.
Oh, yeah.
Almost all those people went on to really, really great things. So my theory is that for radio, or in this case, podcast, a brand new show that is 5 days a week needs 6 months to a year to develop and find its audience.
Mm-hmm.
The less that a show runs, it takes longer. So a 1 day a week show on television, I think you need at least two seasons to develop the show and to build an audience. To get a significant following and have that show go for a decent amount of time, you need 3 to 4 seasons. That's my theory.
Yeah, but the problem is human beings. Even before, you know, we drugged ourselves into what, you know, what we have, what we talked about earlier. Even before that, there's always been the thing of you have to grab me right away.
Yes.
That's the same thing with books. That's the same thing with radio dramas. You have to grab me. If you don't grab me, sorry, you can't keep me. Not to be a perv or anything. But so I say yes and no. It's because personally I want to agree because I like the development of characters and you see where things go. But that's what the season is for. You have to... It's up to the actors and the directors and the writers to get you from the beginning and say, you care about these characters. You want to see what happens, don't you?
Oh, no, I agree with that. But I think you can do that. You can grab an audience within a season. But for a show to fully develop and become you know, iconic, it takes...
Right. Okay. Yeah. No. Okay. I see what you're talking about. You know, and I found the TV show I was talking about.
Oh, what is it?
The Curse of Oak Island.
Ah, freaking Oak. I knew it was Oak Island. Of course it's Oak Island. It's always Oak Island.
But these, and I don't know how real it is. It's probably not real at all. But these brothers are like going into debt and just trying to find this crazy treasure. And there's
how can they be going into debt when the TV network is paying all their expenses?
I don't know what the network actually pays for. So I haven't done any research on this, so I'm gonna have to or something. But like even the girls from like Teen Mom, which what a train wreck, they don't get paid a lot from what TLC. They don't get enough to live on. From what I hear. But then you see articles like the one
that's
girl
from what you hear, yeah.
Fifth.
Those so, I know that those deals are like they cannot there's no disclosure because if any of that got out, the audiences would plummet. Because
oh, yeah,
then
I
it's
can't
not
even imagine
then
the
it's legal. Not yeah, it's like why do I care about this? This chick is getting like all this money from the network. She's not destitute. She's not, you know.
Right.
But then again, they may not get that money until after a season airs.
Maybe.
That would be my guess.
It might even depend on how good their ratings are.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know what those deals are, but none of those people are hurting, you know.
No, I don't think so either.
I mean, that whole John and
Kate. I don't know how this stuff
that's
works.
The thing. The whole John and Kate plus eight thing. Yeah. I know those people got major money to the point
really?
Where Kate was getting plastic surgery and all kinds of stuff. They had major money, but they couldn't show it on the air. So, and they had sponsorships and those people are making
true.
Money, but I guarantee you that part of the deal for the show is they can't show publicly
what they're getting.
Yeah, so
well they have to maintain they have to be relatable
yeah maintain the illusion of the show
yep and no one's gonna watch someone like I'm not gonna watch some okay you got rich okay you are no longer relatable to me
yeah exactly
why would I watch this anymore. I listened to an interview with I was listening to the Nerdist and Chris Hardwick was talking about you know, all of his massive success. And he's like, you know, comedy is the number one thing I love doing. It's my favorite. But I do worry every now and then, am I no longer relatable because my life is so different than it was back then?
Yeah.
When he knew he was relatable to, you know, the average Joe. He's no longer the average Joe. Is he still relatable? So that's something he struggles with, and that's something that the networks have to maintain when it comes to reality television. But at the same time, you love to see the train wreck.
Exactly.
So the psychology behind it is and sociology behind it is super fascinating. And that was part of my degree is like groupthink and, you know, mass psychology, group psychology. So it's super fascinating, like, you know, hive mind type stuff. So, and my dog's back in the bathtub.
Well, TV is that one great equalizer, you know. I mean, like with music or anything else, I mean, there's always something on TV that is you know, people identify with or, you know, are drawn to. So, I mean, there's always going to be something to watch. But for me, the problem with TV is there's so much now.
Mm-hmm.
There's just, you know, there's just way too much there's no way you can watch it all.
Oh, no.
You know, and it makes it, because there's so many stations, so many networks, and so much to watch that too many good shows get sidelined. Or get dumped.
Yeah.
You know? Because they can't find an audience because there's too much for them to watch. You know? So, that's where I'm at.
And it's hard. Yeah, it's hard. And it's hard to stand out.
It really is. It really is. I mean,
yep.
It's almost a fluke now if your show makes it a couple of seasons. So.
And, like, even for stuff like this, podcasts, it's hard to stand out. You know, we have a little startup network with a bunch of shows, and they're I think, you know, they're good shows, and like, you know, we have a movie podcast, and it's like movie podcasts are a dime a dozen.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's hundreds, if not thousands, of them out there. Why should anyone listen to yours?
Exactly.
What makes you different? What do you do that's different? What makes you stand out? And, you know, if you can't answer that, then you need to think before you need to think more before you launch.
Exactly.
And, you know, there's this one podcast that I think has a great concept. It's called The Other Side.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a movie podcast and two friends. One watches the first half of a movie. The other watches the second half. And then they come together and then they try to piece the movie together.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's hilarious. And, you know, because we do, you know, our first viewing commentary. So this is the first time any of us have ever seen this movie. It's usually a cheesy B movie. Cool, fun.
Which I got to tell you, I miss. We have not been able to do one in forever because we're all spread out. So it's impossible to do it.
It sucks. And I can't get anyone reliable.
It is.
That's not flaky to come do it.
It is one of my favorite things to do. I always had so much fun with it because you never know. There were times that we had movies that were so good that we could not joke about it. And there are times that we've had movies so bad we could not joke about it.
But, like, Teeth was my first one. And I was like, so what do we do? And you're like, oh, we're just going to watch and make fun of the movie. And I was like, okay. And I was like, oh, my God, Teeth.
It is so easy to do on some of those movies. But we've watched movies. And the first one that comes to mind as being so bad we could not make fun of it was a movie called Serial Rabbit.
Oh, my God.
It was a movie that poked fun at itself. And I believe the commentary is still up on the website if you want to listen to it. Just listen to the stunned silence of Jim, Bryce, and myself. And then we had movies like, what was it? Was it Theodore Roosevelt Badass?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Oh, geez.
Oh my God, it was so funny. It had us rolling the whole time. We thought it was going to be really bad, and it was really bad, but it was so damn funny. Like, this movie knew it was bad, so it, like, yeah, upped its game with the comedy.
Like Yoga Hosers. So, and they knew it was stupid.
Yeah.
They knew. I mean, come on. It's Kevin Smith and Johnny Depp's daughters, and they had a daughter who has the penis and has the vagina. So it's their daughters, and they're best friends in real life anyway, and, you know, they're both acting in it, and they all knew that this movie was, and Kevin Smith was like, hey, my kids wanted to make a movie, and I helped them make a movie, and it was fun, and enjoy. It was never meant to be anything serious, but I was dying watching this movie. It was so funny, and stupid. I adored it. But yeah, and then you have stuff like Sharknado, which was so bad I actually got angry.
Well, we did we started doing favorites. Like, we started watching movies that were near and dear to our hearts.
Oh no.
And we would just butcher them. One of the last movies we did, and I know this commentary is up, you can listen to it. Before Jim left for Pennsylvania, he wanted to do a commentary for Willow, and Bryce and I merciless. Just brutalized. And I love Willow, but because Jim brought it to us.
I'm never watching The Princess Bride or The Labyrinth with you.
See, it'd be hard for me to make fun of those movies because those are really near and dear to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I love Labyrinth. I love like The Dark Crystal, I would love to do a commentary for, but at the same time, I couldn't because that movie is just so special to me.
Like, dang it! It's like we all had to do it. It's part of initiation.
Yeah, there were movies, like Bryce brought a movie he loves, Boondock Saints. And
yes,
it was, you know, we butchered that movie. I mean, we were brutally honest. And what's funny is some of the best jokes came from Bryce.
And that's the fun part, is like when you know a movie so well,
yeah,
that you know its flaws and you know that it is flawed. Like my favorite movies, of course, I know that there are flaws. I'm going to be doing a live, review with our network's movie podcast of The Princess Bride, and I'm like, okay, I know this movie, and I will be the biggest apologist for it. It's perfect. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it in my heart, but I have to get my critical brain out and go, okay, now it's time to work. Like, we've got to nitpick some stuff. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to.
See, that's that was the beauty of the first viewing commentary, and even the fan commentaries, as we later call them. It wasn't, let's talk about this movie critically. It was, let's add our own jokes to it. Let's Mystery Science Theater it. And
that was the fun part of doing that with you guys.
Yeah, and as it went on, like, we started watching movies, and we started picking out, like, archetypes in the movies. Like, Haunting in Connecticut. There was the dad character, and the next, like, five or six movies in a row had this, like, a very similar dad character. And we ended up with a character that would show up on these movies called Drunk Dad. That Jim would always voice for some reason. But yeah, it was just like, oh my God, it was my favorite commentary that we would do once a month. And I'm really sad that we just don't get the chance to do it. And I hope that we can maybe bring it back at some point. I know there's people that listen to the show who are loosely associated with the show that love doing them and love being involved. So I might have to, like, start bringing in guests for first viewing commentaries, because I just I miss those so much, and I have so much fun with them. So.
And I loved the idea that we had, you know, you guys would do all boy commentaries, and I would be over here and I would do all girl commentaries. The problem is women get pregnant. And then they bail on me. And then they disappear off the face of the earth. So,
stupid pregnancy.
So I've had like three of my friends get pregnant. And I'm like, oh, but you were supposed to. But there's a new crop of really cool females that I have, you know, befriended. So I'm like, okay, so I can probably choose a few from here. And then
Yeah, please, if we could get
something that's possible for the future.
If we could at least get first viewing commentaries back up in any capacity, I'm all for it. Even if I'm not directly involved, I am all for it, because they just brought me so much joy. And now here we are just hashing out show shit on the show, which tells me it's time to go.
yeah, that's okay, though.
We've had a pretty good show. Hopefully next week we will have Jim back. Hopefully we will also have Dan and maybe Bryce. I know he has intimated that he would love to be able to do a show, so I will reach out to him this week and kind of feel him out and see where he's at. The baby is doing great, is adorable as all get out. I know they just went out to dinner for the first time, so maybe that'll be something. Like I said, I'll reach out to him and see how he feels, and if it's something that he thinks he can get, you know, carve away an hour of time to do, then fucking fantastic. I'd love to pick his brain and find out where he's at as a first-time father, and I'd really love it if Jim was on there, because they could share some war stories.
Yay!
That would be hysterical, I'm sure. Until then, thank you for listening as always. I have been James, that has been Samantha, and we will talk to you next week. See ya!
Bye! Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.